Welcome to Dollars and Cents, creating your fulfilled life with Nicole Romito from Private Vista. In this podcast, we draw from years of experience as well as guest specialists to help you create the life you imagine. Join us in this journey as we enlighten and empower you to align your lifestyle to help you achieve your goals with a clear picture of your future. Now, let's get to the show.
And welcome to the Dollars and Cents podcast with Nicole Romito. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Bill. Hello, and Happy New Year from all of us at Private Vista. Many people want a fresh start in the new year, which tends to cause an increase in the number of people who decide to get divorced. If this is you, we are re-releasing a popular episode with our colleague, Delaney Orozco, on empowering your financial future post-divorce.
Nicole, Happy New Year to you. Welcome to 2025. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. I don't know that I'm ready for 2025, but here we are.
it's going to take me 6 months to learn how to write it. Then, you know, I'll have to relearn it all over again in 26.
I know. I'm just glad we don't write checks anymore. Because then, right, like the first 3 months at least, you're always writing the wrong year.
I know.
And I'm sure our guest with us today doesn't even know what we're talking about.
Like a check. What is that? I've never seen one of those.
Yes.
So what's the topic today? What are we talking about?
Well, I'm welcoming back, I think for her third time, my lovely colleague, Delaney Orozco. Hi, welcome back, Delaney.
Thank you for having me. And I do know what a check is. We had a class in high school many moons ago.
Oh, I thought you were going to say maybe for more of our advanced clients. Right. Don't worry, listeners, we are not going to talk about the ancient craft of check writing today. I mean, otherwise, I think we probably lost all our listeners at this point. Delaney and I are going to discuss, you know, what you need to prepare around the biggest issue when you are getting a divorce, either if you're thinking about it or you are getting a divorce. In our opinion, no surprise for our longtime listeners, we think that the biggest issue is finances, particularly if the divorce was not your idea. We have found that the money part of the divorce is usually the one that can cause the most paralysis, certainly usually causes the most anxiety, and a whole host of other emotions. So our game plan is to break it into three phases so that will hopefully make it more manageable for you. So before we jump into that discussion, in case you did not hear one of our prior episodes, I'll give a little background on Delaney. She joined Private Vista. I can't believe it, Delaney. It'll be your 10th year with us. That is crazy insane in the best way. She graduated from Virginia Tech with a degree in financial planning. She earned her CFP designation the year after she graduated college. So super duper schooling for her that year. And her fun fact is Private Vista is the first, and in her words, folks, the only firm that she will work for. She's currently a senior advisor and plans to continue working towards becoming a partner at our company. She loves helping our clients align their finances with all the things that bring them joy in life. And speaking of joy, Delaney, while I do know you get a lot of it from Private Vista, why don't you share some of the things in your personal life that I also know bring you equal, if not more, joy?
Yeah, of course. So I also outside of work, I have a husband and a 2.5-year-old. It keeps us very, very busy on top of our full-time jobs. We also coach volleyball. So we are a volleyball family. We've been coaching together since 2019, and we've both been playing for probably more than half of our lives. So a big part of what we do is sports, volleyball in particular, and just getting together and spending time with our families.
That is great. Thank you so much for sharing that with our listeners. So why don't we, like we said, we're going to break this into three phases. Let's kind of take, you know, I think we have both seen that whether people are, you know, pondering, am I going to call it quits, or they have decided they are, or it's been decided for them. First of all, I know that we usually counsel our clients. So like, let's take a deep breath and take a step back. The finances are overwhelming, they can be overwhelming, really, even when you're in your best state of mind. Most people, when they're thinking about or going through a divorce, are not at their best state of mind. Most people, it's probably the lowest point in their life. And if you haven't been involved with the finances, it is extremely anxiety inducing and can really just make you so scared that you can't even begin to think of how to start with that. So why don't you, Delaney, lead us off on kind of how, when we work with our clients, what's kind of phase one that we help them think through?
Yeah, absolutely, Nicole. And it's no surprise that finances and money tends to be one of the leading causes of the start of a divorce. So it doesn't surprise us that it's one of the hardest parts when you're actually going through a divorce. So for us, when a client comes to us and says, you know, either I'm considering this or we're officially starting the process of separation, the main thing is to build the support team. So that has to be kind of our top priority, because as our clients are going through this, what could be a very long process,
right?
You want to have your team put together in a way that is going to make you the most comfortable, the most successful long term. And that's really going to be building the right group of people and a group of people that work well together. So that's kind of another focus as we start to build out that phase one.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just to jump in here, not only I really want to highlight for our listeners the kind of the last piece you said, and you really not only want, but you need your team to work well together. You're already going to have most likely some type of, you know, tension with your soon to be ex spouse or ex partner. So we know that's generally coming to the table, even if it's a very amicable divorce. But so you don't really want that on your team. And you want to make sure that each team member understands kind of what lane they belong in, but how to collaborate with the others.
Exactly.
So the other thing I think is interesting is probably most people, you know, especially working for, if it's your first divorce, you don't know what you don't know. So I would think most people tend to start with the attorney and might even be like, what is this team concept you're talking about?
Exactly. So I find that it's always kind of interesting when people start with the attorney, because mm-hmm. if you remember how most attorneys get paid, it's typically a retainer. So starting with the attorney side of things, you know, you're kind of starting at a different point in time where it might actually be better to start with a financial advisor first, because there's a couple of different pieces there. So one, if you've never gone down this path, a financial advisor, whether someone you have or someone you're meeting, could have great resources for attorneys that they've worked with in the past, who then in turn, we can find attorneys that work well together. And if you start with the financial advisor, most financial advisors do not bill hourly, and this is going to be a very time-consuming process, right? So it's really key to find somebody that is going to fit the bill as well. So if you start with the attorney, and now we're talking about, okay, we've started here, we're already 10 hours deep, you've been billed for these 10 hours, rather than if you start with the financial advisor first, normally it's a planning fee. Later down the line, you talk about other fees, but that initial, how do we go into phase two, is really the financial advisor is going to give you the biggest bang for your buck when you're starting to look through things like that. And the referral source. You have to be with a group that you trust. And if you've already got a financial advisor, working with people that they trust as well. And if you meet attorneys along the way, that's great to incorporate. But I do think the financial advisor is probably one of the best places to start. And most of the times they already know the full picture if it's someone you've worked with in the past.
Right. That's true. Now, one, I think, caveat of starting with a financial person is if you have not been involved with or responsible for the finances during the marriage, you may need to actually hire the attorney first, because if you're getting a divorce, it's probably not the time that your soon-to-be ex-spouse wants to bring you into the fold, if you will, and start sharing access and passwords and here's how I've been doing things during our marriage. So If that is the case, we're not judging you. We're not beating you up. We all understand there's only so many hours in the day, and it's very common that the duties and responsibilities get divvied up between the two spouses or partners. So don't beat yourself up about it. But just know that you, if your spouse is not willing to share information with you, you may need to hire the attorney first, because that is a required part of any divorce process, where it could be called anything from financial disclosure to discovery to exchanging of information, depending on which process you're going through for your divorce. So that's just the one thing we kind of want to add on, is you may need to start with an attorney there. But so for most of our listeners, for those of you listening who fall in that category, that would be your first step. Did you want to add something?
So I think it's a really good point to kind of also include. It really depends on where you are up till this point. Again, if you're the non-financial partner, like you said, it could be best to start with the attorney, because now you're going to be asking for information that maybe is not so willingly handed over in a right. contentious time.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So we've talked about, you know, why you may want to start with a financial advisor. One thing I would add on to Delaney's comments is this is definitely, you want to make sure the advisor has experience and ideally mainly focuses on working with people who are going through a divorce, because it is different than, if you will, other parts of financial planning or financial advising. There's different laws that come into play. Again, an advisor is not a lawyer, will not offer legal advice, but you do want them familiar with how things work in your state. And then certainly tax considerations, and maybe different solutions that could help optimize what you maintain from the marital estate.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good point, Nicole.
So we've talked a little bit about financial advising. We talked about an attorney. What is there anyone else on the team that our listeners should consider?
Yeah, absolutely. So I always guide our clients going through a situation like this towards some other avenue of support that is completely third party, where you can really talk things out, that being either a life coach, a therapist, someone that is going to be able to listen and help you process all of the emotions that you're going through, and someone who's very well trained to do so.
Yes.
Because as you'll find, although in this process, maybe the attorney and the financial advisor is incredible and so empathetic and helpful in getting you through things, we're typically not trained in that space. So having someone who has done it before, and definitely when you're involving more parties, so if you have children, having somebody that can help guide the whole family through it is a really big benefit. I think that would be a suggestion to anyone I would give going through this.
Yes, I agree. And there's different mental health professionals. So two that are common through the divorce process, most people are familiar with a therapist. And then there is, and many people are becoming more and more familiar with this, but there's also like a divorce coach, or some of the coaches like to be called divorce consultants. And really what they're doing is they're going to help you deal with the emotional aspects of the divorce. So a therapist is, and a coach, kind of the difference is a therapist is usually helping you look back to say what happened to you at an earlier part of your life cycle that is causing you to either have issues with certain situations, maybe challenges in dealing with emotions productively. So a therapist is kind of looking back and saying, let's unpack that. A divorce coach is not doing that. They are going to just help coach you to get through this process and try to be as rational and unemotional as possible. And that's really important, because what Delaney and I see so often is you're going to get emotional around assets. And you might be like, wait, what? These are dollars and cents on a page, or they're bricks on the ground of my house, or it's a 401k. But if you think about it, and Delaney's going to give us some more insights on phase two and three about this, but really a house is not just a house. You might, you know, Delaney mentioned oftentimes if you have kids, she has a child. I think even when her and Danny, not that they're getting a divorce, but if they move at some point, you know, it's still going to be emotional to leave that house where their first child was born and raised. So it does get emotional around that. And then I think too, Delaney, maybe do you want to share? We've seen people get very emotional around pensions, stock options, 401ks. Do you want to maybe share some of the emotional?
Absolutely. So the thing that we've seen the most is whether you're the person who maybe stayed home raising the children, let's say you left the workforce at 25 years old, and now you and your spouse are 55, you decided to leave the workforce to help raise your family. But that doesn't mean you did a dollarless job, right? I would argue that a stay-at-home parent is almost a priceless job.
I think they're the hardest working people I've ever met.
So now that person hasn't had the opportunity to save money into a, call it a retirement plan, because they didn't get income from outside the house, whereas they feel maybe they're also entitled to some of those funds, because although they may not have been leaving the house to do work, they have done an ample amount of work in the last 30 years. And then on the flip side, the person who did get up every day and leave to go do a job feels that they've put their whole heart and soul into that job. That's money that they've earned and saved. Maybe they're not as quick to want to give away half of it or whatever may come of that. So it can be an extremely emotional time where both parties feel in that example that they've put in the amount of work to deserve a piece of that asset.
Right. Absolutely. I know I can't even, it's countless times how many we've heard someone say, that's my 401k. I'm the one who worked 80 hours a week for it. It's in my name. That's my asset.
Right.
So one thing as a side note, again, we know we're talking to people who are either thinking about or at the very start of the divorce process. One piece of advice, even though neither of us are mental health professionals, is as much as you can, you need to kind of just tune out the other person or turn your cheek, if you will. They are not the authority on what is, you know, what assets they're going to retain or what assets you're going to retain or which assets might be divided. So we know it's hard, but just know that your soon-to-be ex-spouse is not going to have the final say on, you know, what goes on in each of your columns.
Right. Exactly.
So I think we've done a good job of kind of talking about phase one. So you've got your team established. Now you're going to say, okay, let's move into phase two. And this is where we get into kind of the educational phase and the data gathering phase. Why don't we talk about, as you're trying to get your arms around this, even if you were involved with the finances, Delaney, where do our listeners want to start during this phase?
Yeah, that's great. So I actually am the financial person in my relationship. Not a big surprise to most listeners.
Shocking.
My life's work. So I can tell you right now that if I was going through something like this, it would even be very difficult for me in this phase of gathering data, because just by nature, over time, there's more data to gather. So the longer you're together, the more there is to start putting in one place and really educating yourself about all the ins and outs of a household. So one of the starting points is, I would say, start to think of things in buckets, right? So anything that is a need bucket. So think housing. You really want to get everything you can find with relation to your household in one place. So this is things like mortgages, what is your real estate tax bill? And an easy place to start is what comes in the mail. You know, it's this topic's going to get harder and harder over time when it's all electronic. So this is why we really push to educate both parties in a relationship of where you find things. Because then if there ever is a time where one person's going to be completely in charge, one day the mail might not be as easy to go to. So for now, we would tell people, you know, look for these statements as they're coming in and start to really get an understanding of what are the ins and outs. The other things you may be looking for is a net worth page to start to understand how many accounts there are between a couple. And this could be things like we've talked about before, 401ks, investment statements. You'll be able to find a lot of information if you've had a net worth page built in the past. That's very helpful. So it's things like that. And this process can feel very overwhelming because you've already decided at this point that you're going to go through this. This is now the place where you might be discovering things you didn't know. You may come across statements and you're like, I didn't know we even had this account.
Right.
So this is another time. Or a second mortgage. This is another time where things are going to come up that could cause an emotional reaction. So this part is overwhelming. This is where utilizing the team you've built is also going to be important because they can help explain things that you may come across if it's something that maybe you don't understand or didn't know you had.
Yeah, I would agree. And I would also kind of, you know, put your thinking cap on and think about, you know, most people, right? If you're working outside the home, a lot of people, and we're getting at that time of year where part of their compensation may come from a cash bonus. And then more and more we're seeing with public and private companies, your bonus could come in some sort of equity compensation. And you may not know the details or how many grants or things like that, but you are going to know that, hey, I know the bonus always hit our bank account on 12/31 or, you know, in the first quarter of the year. So even again, if you don't have access to the bank account or things like that, these are things to put into your notepad. So when you are talking with your attorney and financial advisor, it really just helps A, making sure that you're getting all the disclosure on getting the full picture of your finances. But I think too, the more you can kind of think about and you say, oh, I did know about that, you will start to feel a little more empowered around it and maybe not so out of the loop.
Yeah, that's a good point. And kind of going back to that needs thought. So we've talked about the income, you know, is coming in, your household expenses. The other things you should be thinking about is, where's your health insurance? How are you currently being provided for with all of your insurance policies? That is going to be something that's really important to understand because that could change drastically after a divorce. So you want to know all the things that you need, you want to have it in one place. And then the next phase is kind of that once bucket. So what do you typically spend on the stuff you like to do in a month, or food, clothing? So it's really kind of outlining, what do you need if you were not living in the same place you're living today? What do you need if you're still going to live in that place at the end of the day? And then what do you like to do? Because you don't want to get into a situation where now you have to trim your expenses so much that you feel like you can't even go out and start the next chapter.
Yeah, I agree. And that is going to be, again, just to reiterate one of the key points Delaney just shared is there's needs and there's wants, and you really do need to start kind of looking at it to say what truly do you need? And you need to have a roof over your head. You need to eat. You need to have health insurance. You may need a car to get to and from work, or if you're not working outside the home, to be able to get the kids to the various places. Obviously, you need to have heat, things like that. And then other things where, you know, it might be, I need to do this, but it is really taking an honest look to say, what is survival? And then what would be kind of the nice to haves? And we're not saying that you need to change your life or things like that, but if you can go in with that mindset, the more kind of open-minded and flexible you can be, the better served you're going to be both going through the divorce and when you come out on the other side.
Exactly.
Yeah. So one of the things too is, and this is a beast, is this financial disclosure form. You're going to have to go through all the expenses in really nauseating detail, but it is something that you want to be as accurate as possible because I know at least here in Illinois, we can't speak for all states, but that is a big component of when they're looking at child support.
and maintenance, which used to be known either as spousal support or alimony. So it's not going to be a fun project. There's no way we can make it fun, but it is something that you want to make sure you're being very thorough about. Anything else, Delaney, we want to hit on in the kind of gathering data phase?
The only other thing I would say is make sure that if you're at a point in the data gathering where you start to feel overwhelmed, that is when you should immediately reach out to this team that you have built and you've spent time building, because you should not be going through it alone. You yeah. should be reaching out and talking through anything that's making you feel anything less than you're smooth sailing through this process. So really utilize the team that you're building.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so when we get into kind of phase three, this is where, for some people, it is very, it makes them feel good. They're excited about this phase. Other people just are very paralyzed and anxious during it. So again, this is your divorce. It's going to be very individualized to you as a person. So there's no right or wrong, and you might feel all those emotions. Heck, you probably will feel a roller coaster of emotions as you're going through any of these phases and the remainder of your divorce. But really what we start here is kind of starting to look forward. Everything Delaney and I've talked about thus far is looking back. You know, how did we accumulate this? What are we spending? What are we making? What do we own? What do we owe? Things like that. And you're learning about it and you're documenting it. Now is where you start to say, hey, we're looking forward, because we're not looking back anymore. We're not staying there. And that's not the direction we're going. So Delaney, would love to, I think this will be very interesting for our listeners, some of the like questions or kind of how you couch this conversation with clients.
Yeah. So I really like to pose this, because this is really important in the planning. Anytime you're going through the divorce, the planning part of it is really, okay, what does the next 30 years look like for you? And although when you're going through a moment like this, it's very hard to say, okay, in 30 years, here's what I want. So we like to kind of step back and say, even if you didn't have to work for money, would you maybe consider getting a job if it's something you haven't done in a long time? Do you think that would bring you joy? You know, that's on the side of if you didn't have to work for money. There are times where we go through this and we're saying, hey, you know, when we split these assets, maybe you should consider going back and working for money, because it'll help your plan long term. So it's things like that that we really want to start planting the seed of early in the divorce process, because it could also really depend on what those goals are, on how you may be negotiating certain aspects of a divorce. So we're looking at things like returning to work if you haven't worked in a while. Do you want to keep the marital home? That's another big one that comes up a lot, because let's say you're used to a 5-bedroom home and now your kids are about to be graduated and your ex-spouse decides they don't want the home, but your kids are trying to convince you to keep it. This is one of those things that we really want to think through, kind of the whole process of, here's what it looks like if you stay in this house that you've been in maybe for 20 years. Here's what it looks like if you sell it and try somewhere new. In those kinds of situations, Nicole and I love to tell people, you know, rent in a place you think you're going to have a little fun for the next year, and then we find your final landing space. So it's really things that are going to be more long-term, but yet we can tailor them to what you want to see in the near future. And a lot of this ends up playing a factor when there's kids involved too. So we want to make sure that the family dynamic still stays looking towards the future. So it's a couple examples there.
Yeah, those are good ones. And I think along your lines, I'm thinking of one client who, like you mentioned, they had the larger family home in the suburbs. When they got divorced, their kids were, the youngest one was at college out of state, so they didn't have to worry about school districts or things like that. But neither of them wanted to keep the marital home. And my client, the wife, you know, I think she's like a poster child. We should have her do her own podcast on this. But she's like, you know what? I want to move back to the city. And she hopscotched around 3 different apartments in 3 different neighborhoods, just trying out different styles of rental homes, different neighborhoods. And she loved it. And then she ended up actually moving back to the suburbs because she's like, I had my few years of fun in the city, but I think I want to get back. I want a yard. I want to be able to plant. And so again, because she rented, she had a lot of flexibility. And also too, it just kind of gave her, she tried it on. She liked it during the time, but then said, okay, I'm kind of done with that.
Yeah. And I think that is a perfect example of why knowing the impact of both decisions is important. So when you do with your financial advisor, along with your attorney, you start to plan out these future looking items, you can get a really good sense of, okay, if I choose A, here's what it looks like. If I choose B, here's what it looks like. There's no right or wrong.
Right.
And, you know, for the most part, nothing can't be changed, right? So we're not making decisions that you're stuck with forever. So it's just nice to know that you can get a good sense of what each option will bring you in the future. And then you can make a really educated decision because we know there's going to be emotion behind it all. So it's really about being educated on the two choices, the impact to you, and then finding the balance of emotionally what's going to feel right.
Yes, I agree. And again, we are talking about earlier in the process. So again, if you don't know what that next chapter looks like, you have no idea. That's very typical and is just perfectly fine. Our goals are just to start asking questions. I think Delaney used the term, let's plant some seeds so that we can, you know, help you just start to imagine.
Yeah.
So with our planning process, it's really a lot of times what we'll say is, you know, you've got a whole universe out there. Let's try and just either, and it's usually by ruling things out that we can kind of narrow it into a more manageable range of the possibilities.
Yeah.
So with that, I think, you know, again, earlier in the process, but it is sometimes a little easier to move through the process if you are starting to think about and get an idea of what you're moving towards versus what you're moving away from.
Oh, that's such a good point, Nicole. I love the way you said that because that really is something that you can hold on to during a lot of the back and forth, because just by nature, there's going to be back and forth in this process. You're never going to just write up, here's what I'd like to see happen and get the stamp of approval immediately. That's probably on the way more rare front.
Yeah.
But so as you're going through the back and forth, you can kind of keep in your mind, hey, this is what I'm working towards. This is what we would say my private vista is going to look like in a year, 2 years. This is where I'd like to be. And kind of having that light, especially if it's a contentious divorce, that light at the end of the tunnel is really important. And I do want to point out that some of the things we talk about, we do talk about with an angle towards it could possibly be a little more back and forth. We have definitely seen divorces that have been 100% amicable. And a lot of the times where we see that, it's because we've got the right team in place and we've got the right attorneys talking to attorneys in a very collaborative manner. So I do want to point out that not every divorce is difficult.
Right, right. And I think that is a good point to kind of end on, if you will, is it's not like on TV or in the movies. You will not have your day in court. At least in Illinois, we're a no-fault divorce. So there are no penalties if bad behavior occurred during the marriage or that's the cause of the divorce. So really, if you want to think about it, you want to get attorneys who are solution oriented and want to work with you and your spouse's or partner's attorney to come to a solution where, you know what? I mean, what is the definition of compromise, Delaney? I think everyone leaves the table a little bit unhappy. So it is going to be something where there's going to be give and take from everyone. But if you can do that and it's more solution oriented, it's really a win for you. And if you do have children, because there's more money staying in the marital estate versus going to attorney's fees.
Right. When I first started this space, Nicole gave me the advice of we don't use the F word. We don't use fair because when you're going through a situation like this, nothing's truly fair.
Right. That is true. That is true. Or we all have, I mean, even just with Delaney and I, we could have a different, you could give us the same set of facts and we could have different views or interpretations of what we think is fair. So that's a great, very good point. I'm glad you listen. So with that, you know, just as a quick recap, you're at the beginning of it, you're thinking of it, build a team. It's more than just your attorney. Educate yourself, gather your data. Where am I sitting today financially? And then now is the early stages of trying to think of what's next. Delaney, anything else you wanted to share with the wrap up or any other key takeaways for our listeners?
Yeah, just a reminder again. I know I've kind of hit on this before, but you're not alone when you're going through this, and make sure that you continue to reach out to the people that are here to help.
I agree and second that. Well, as always, our time has flown by. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and experiences with our listeners. So thank you.
Absolutely.
And if any of our listeners wanted to get in touch with you, Delaney, what's the best way to do so?
Sure. So you can find my contact information at myprivatevista.com. It's my email is dorozco, O-R-O-Z-C-O, at myprivatevista.com.
Great. And you can also, too, on our website, we have a contact us button right on the homepage. You can also use that, put your contact details in there, reference this episode, and then we will make sure that Delaney reaches out to you that way as well. If you prefer phone, you can reach Delaney at 312-831-4370, and our receptionist can connect you with her.
And I'm going to assume, Nicole, that if anybody wants to get a hold of you, they can use those same numbers in that same website, right? And say, I'd like to talk to you.
You are correct.
That's really good. You know, this is a difficult topic to talk about, and it's a difficult topic to go through. I'm just curious, listening to it, it sounds like there are two things that are really, really important that people should keep in mind. One is the amount of, they need to be organized. The other one, clearly, they need to communicate. And I think a lot of times in these sorts of situations, people are afraid to communicate, Delaney. I think they're afraid to, they're afraid to do that. How important is that component of this?
It really is one of the most important pieces, because the communication aspect, if you can find a way to get more comfortable with it through the process, because you have to build trust first. So the team you've put together, you're going to have to, they will have to show you that they are trustworthy. And then that's where you start to see the communication flow a little bit better. And you just got to remember that it's a no judgment zone. Once you've built this team, we've seen a lot of things. It's a no judgment zone. We're here to help you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's interesting you brought that up, Bill, because I know when we're talking with our other professional team members, the attorneys, the therapists, and the divorce coaches, it's not lost on us that it's pretty ironic that during a time of divorce, because really the couple top number causes of divorce are financial and lack of or just bad or ineffective communication, that we're saying, hey, let's all come together and we need to communicate. So it's not lost on us, but it is possible. And I agree with Delaney. It's very important.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. There's nothing that's not going to make it, in most cases, not a bad situation. But you can make a bad situation better is what I'm sort of taking away from this conversation today. So thank you, Delaney. Thank you. And for those of you who are listening to this podcast who are not yet subscribers, why not? This is easy. You don't have to reach out to anybody. You don't have to call anybody or email anyone. You just hit the follow button. Become a subscriber. That way, every time Nicole drops a new episode of this podcast, you're notified and you can give it a listen. Also, if you find this podcast useful, if you find it interesting, tell people about it, please. Word of mouth communication, word of mouth promotion is great. We love it. Thank you for that. Until next time, I'm Bill Tucker. On behalf of Nicole and everybody at My Private Vista, thank you for taking the time to listen today. And do remember this, please. You can go out today and make today a great day or not. The choice is yours. Choose wisely. Until next time.
Thank you again for listening. If you are considering or are at the start of your divorce, please reach out to schedule a 30-minute complimentary consult to discuss your personal situation.
And thank you, Nicole. Don't forget, if you're not a subscriber, hit that follow button, become one. You'll like that because every time Nicole releases a new episode, you'll be notified and you can give it a listen. Don't forget to give us a like and tell friends about us if you like the podcast. Word of mouth promotion is very much appreciated. So I'm Bill Tucker. Until next time, on behalf of Nicole and everybody at My Private Vista, thank you for taking the time to listen and Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening to the Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito, sponsored by Private Vista. Visit our website at www.myprivatevista.com or give us a call at 312-831-4370. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Private Vista is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy or completeness of the information or for statements or errors or omissions, or results obtained from the use of this information. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC assume no liability for action made or taken in reliance on or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced. Such data and other information are subject to changes without notice. This was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.